Good morning. Thank you all very much for being here this morning. You're welcome, DC. Love you guys all and appreciate your faith being proven by being here, your edification and encouragement to one another, your desire to reason together from God's holy word. This morning, the title of our lesson in the bulletin is Know the Truth. Well, when I saved that, my computer popped up and said, hey, there's another file that says Know the Truth. So I had to look back, and yep, sure enough, I had another lesson titled Know the Truth in March of 2016. I didn't open it, didn't even look at it. So I changed it to Know the Truth in my record keeping. And it's a different focus. I believe the last time we looked at the truth, we talked about Jesus being the truth, and obviously he is. But to know the truth in other perspectives that we have, this week at work, I work in a construction site, we had a mystery. Some people knew what happened. Some people thought they knew what happened. And to this day, I don't think anybody knows for sure, and whoever does is not going to say it. Somebody said somebody stole some fuel out of the big tank. Somebody said somebody cut the hose, then went to the tank. Well, I had to do some investigating. I said, well, you better call the police. So by the end of the day, somebody called the police. Okay. They didn't want to listen to me. That's okay. But it looked like the hose had been ripped off rather than cut off. So what's the truth? I said, well, how much fuel was in the tank? One person said, I don't know. So we stuck a stick down in the tank. Come up about this much. A little bit later, somebody said there's a quarter tank in there. A little bit later, somebody said there's 100 gallons of fuel in there. We had rain come through at 4:30, and we had rain come through at 6 o'clock, downpours, just north of Muncie. And in the morning when I walked around everything, you couldn't find any tire tracks, you couldn't find any footprints, and no nothing. So certainly they'd have made some prints if it had happened possibly after 6 o'clock. The cameras that were on the area didn't pick up anything that we could detect. So to know the truth, we don't know the truth. We still can't agree on the truth on a job site. Who stole it? What happened? Really? Did the hose get yanked out, pulled off, cut off? Was there fuel stolen? How much was stolen? It'll be a mystery forever. But for us, spiritually, to know the truth, it doesn't have to be a mystery. There are absolutes, and we can know for sure and for certain about our salvation, about our citizenship in heaven, about our love for one another, about our obedience to God the Father. Jesus mentions in our passage this morning, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, if I was going to ask everyone this morning before I started the lesson, how free are you today? Well, I don't know. I got to mow the lawn. I didn't take the trash out. See, I'm going to run through the stuff. I'm cool. I took the trash out this morning. I mowed the lawn Thursday night. Okay? Pool's clean. Come on over. If it's full, you're just going to have to jump in and stand side by side. I don't care. Come on. I go down through all my lists. Things that bind us, a lot of times, folks, are physical. Obviously, the truth shall make you free. Spiritual understanding. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life will make you free. But I ask us to examine ourselves this morning. Are you free? Do you feel free? Do you feel bound? Do you feel heavy laden? Do you have yokes upon you that you don't like or you don't want? Turn to Jesus. Turn to Jesus. Turn to Jesus. He has the power to free you from those things. Sometimes we make choices that bind us, folks, that are our choice. Okay? Everybody look at our spouse. Just kidding you a little bit. Hopefully, your marriage relationship helps you be free in Christ. It reminds you of grace and mercy and peace. It reminds you of Jesus. And if it doesn't, I ask you to pray about that. And pray for your spouse. And pray for your heart. To make sure that you can encourage your spouse in the Lord. And your decisions. And how you treat each other. I don't know about you guys. But in my life, sometimes I treat the people I love the most and that are most faithful in Christ the worst. I have the least amount of patience. I have the least amount of time. I have the least amount of forgiveness. I always want to look at the small picture when I'm dealing with people I love. I don't know why. I continue to change that. I have a lot more forgiveness at work. I have to. I don't know. I ask us, and I share that with you, to be free from those constraints that would help us treat each other as we want to be treated. And follow Jesus. The truth working in our lives. That's the truth, folks. Sometimes we don't like the truth. You know, Brother Brad mentioned it. What is the truth this morning in Bible class? You know? Doctrine of Jesus, doctrine of the apostles, doctrine of other folks, doctrine of denominations, doctrine of the government, or a different religion totally. Only Jesus says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Free indeed, free from sin, free from cares, free from worry. I know that's tough. I've reminded myself that passage, God's holy passage, about worry. I don't know about you. Did anybody worry this last week? I see. Thank you, sister. I did. I worry about stuff. I do. And Jesus said, don't do that. But he said, here's how you don't do that. Remember God as your Father. Remember he cares for you. Remember he loves you. Remember he cares and he's made you. And he knows all things that you're struggling with. And he's there for you. And that should help us from worry. That should set us free that we're following in the truth. Our next passage this morning of our lesson comes from Luke chapter 20. So they watched him and sent spies who pretended to be righteous, that they might seize on his words, in order to deliver him to the power and the authority of the governor. Then they asked him, saying, Teacher, we know that you say and teach rightly, and you do not show personal favoritism, but teach the way of God in truth. Is it lawful for us to pay taxes to Caesar or not? But he perceived their craftiness and said to them, Why do you test me? Show me a denarius. Whose image and inscription does it have? And they answered and said, Caesar's. And he said to them, Render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. But they could not catch him in his words in the presence of the people, and they marveled at his answer and kept silent. Obviously, there's lessons from this passage of Scripture that pertain to all kinds of things in our lives. But even the spies sent to pretend to be righteous said, Jesus, you teach the way of God in truth. You don't show any favoritism. They recognized the uniqueness of Jesus. They recognized that he was the truth. Now, the issue was they didn't want to accept the truth. They wanted to do things their own way. They wanted to justify him. They want to catch Jesus in something. Folks, if you open God's holy word to try and catch God and catch Jesus to allow you to sin or allow you to have an attitude you ought not to have,
That's what was transpiring here. Jesus said, "Why do you test me?" And I think about times in our lives, folks, when we test Jesus. Are you sure, Jesus, I need to do that? Are you sure I need to forgive? Are you sure I need to turn the other cheek? You sure I need to love my enemies? Are you sure I need to give of my means as I've been prospered? Are you sure I need to talk to my neighbor about you? Teach the way of God in truth. I don't know about you, brothers and sisters in Christ and friends, but I'm so thankful for Jesus. So thankful for Jesus. Because if I had the world, there's times I like to live in the world of Don. The world according to Don. Ask my wife. She's experienced it. And she says, "I know who God is, and it's not you, Don." Okay? And I've said that at work before and about certain people and certain things. I know who God is, and it's not him or her or them. But the same way with us, folks. Why do you test me? How many of us have been tested by our children? Grandchildren? Those of us a little older, okay? And how are we tested? Our patience is tested, right? How we're going to react to something? That's the same thing they were doing to Jesus. I'm going to test the truth. Sometimes in our lives, folks, we want to test the truth. That happens. It's part of the way we're made. We're testing things. Kids do it, as innocent as they are. They want to test right and wrong. They want to test hot and cold. They want to test yes or no. Or how many times you say yes or how many times you say no. Teach the way of God in truth when we are in tests. It is written in 1 Timothy, "Therefore I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time, for which I was appointed a preacher and apostle. I am speaking the truth in Christ and not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and in truth." This passage struck me in my heart to think, you know, the world wants you to think God is picking and choosing. You know? Now, we're thankful he has chosen us because we've obeyed the gospel of Christ. That's how he chooses people, by people being obedient to him. But some people give up hope and never have any hope because they think God has rejected them for something that's happened in their life. A tragic event, a physical event, a mental event, a monetary event, all kinds of things, folks, that happen to us in our lives. That we struggle with, being in the flesh. And we convince ourselves, and the world wants to convince us, that God just doesn't care. It's too hard to be obedient to God. It's too hard to be faithful and walk by faith. It's too hard to forgive. It's too hard to love my enemies. It's too hard to let go of self. But it is written in God's word, God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. It is not God's desire for any people to follow half-truths
to follow a different God or a different deal. I've watched some... You think it's only happening across the world and it's different, but I watched a TV show this week. I don't know how many of you know who Ozzy Osbourne is. Okay. He is a rock and roll singer, along with multiple other things. Okay, he calls himself the Prince of Darkness. Okay, which is to me crazy and ludicrous, being a child almost. I got it. But yet, when he leaves people after visiting places, he says, "God bless you." So he obviously he's a little mixed up. Doesn't know what the truth is. Okay. His kids sent him to some place in Nashville, Tennessee, that is on 100 and some acres, and it's a huge cathedral, and it has a big, big head at some guru's place. Okay? And it's a head of one of the first gurus ever recorded in man's history. It's an idol. Okay? It's in a huge sanctuary. I mean, like 30 times bigger than this. You could have a football game in there, like an empty football stadium. It's in Nashville, Tennessee. I didn't know it was there until I watched it on TV. Okay. But they went there searching for truth. And they didn't find it, because all they found was a guru and some man-made idols and some other stuff. They may have found a nice man, a kind man. Actually, the guru was real good at throwing frisbee, and that was part of the, part of the video. It sounds crazy, but that's, yeah, the guru, here he's got this robe, and he's got a turban on, and he's throwing a frisbee to him. He's a good frisbee. Well, that's good. Guess he's got to be something. But he is not the way in the truth in a life. That's Jesus. That's Jesus. And people are looking for the truth, and they look in all different kinds of ways, folks. I plead with us to continue to remember that Jesus is the truth that sets us free. He is the Son of God. And that God desires all men, okay, all men. It's just like, do I want all people to drive a Dodge? No. Do I want all people to drive Chevys? Bob, you want everybody to drive Chevy? No. Or Ford or Toyota or whatever else. No, it's just impossible. So we use that concept with religion. That's okay. That's just his religion. That's just how he feels. That's not so with God. It's fine with a car. It's fine with what food you want to eat. It's fine what career you want to do. What kind of house you want to live in. But it's not fine when it comes to serving the Most High God. The God who created us. He wants all to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Not part of the truth, half the truth. So let me say, if I only said, I'm not going to say that. We need to be careful because Satan tempts us with not all the truth. There's a lot of people lost because they only follow part truths. And if you get an opportunity to share with them the whole truth, I plead with you to do so. Because that's God's desire for the world. In 1 Timothy 4 it is written, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer." Those who believe and know the truth. I saw Ozzy Osbourne in concert years and years ago before I became Christian. So I'm listening, I watch his deal on TV. Well, they went and saw Rock and Roll Redneck. His name's David Turner. Never heard of him before. And he made some vegetable soup for him. And I watched this last night, so I'm, And he takes a bite of it, and he's like, that's good stuff, isn't it? And it looks like good vegetable soup. And Ozzy took a little bite, and his son Jack took a bite, and they're like, what is this? This is strange. He said, well, I said, he said, my wife made the vegetables, and he said, I put the roadkill in there. His possum soup. See, some of you are thinking, that might not be too bad. Some of you are like, not today. Now, I will tell you this, that they took a couple more bites and said, it's not quite as bad as I thought. So they were polite about it, okay? But the thought of what they were eating, you know? Folks, let us be careful that we know the truth when it comes to what we eat and what we drink. And we don't bind things on one another that God hasn't bound upon us. We are free in Christ. We are free in Christ. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are His. And let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel of honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. If God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. When I read this passage, folks, when I read a passage like this, I think to myself, am I a vessel of honor or dishonor? And some days I'm very good, some days I'm not. And I will never give up trying to be a vessel of honor each and every day of my life. I pray with you guys to recognize there's times we make some mistakes. Thanks be to the blood of Christ, we can continue on. But to flee youthful lusts, pursue things of righteousness. Now, folks, avoid foolish and ignorant disputes that generate strife. How many of us have conquered that? Yeah. Some days we are vessels of honor, some days we are vessels of dishonor. We should be a goal to be a vessel of honor every day of our lives. Or recognize the minute we start arguing about something, okay? Football season's upon us. Who's the best? Who to pick? Friday night football started. You know, who's going to be a state champ this year? All kinds of sports have started. As representatives of the kingdom of heaven, we should not be haters, folks. I met somebody that's an Ohio State fan. Schwann Man came off hours on what, Friday night, Lucas? Schwann Man Friday night? His normal night's Wednesday night. We miss him because we're here for Bible study. So I was elated to see him show up on Friday night, okay? Even though he's knocking on my door, you want to buy something? Why, sure. Why would you turn down the best ice cream ever made? Except for homemade ice cream. Just a little bit, but in talking to him, because he's not the regular gentleman, he's from Ohio. I said, oh, whereabouts? So I reference a racetrack. Yeah, I'm about by that place. And he starts talking about football, because football was on TV. Find out he's a fan of Ohio State. So I'm sorry about that. You know, it's kind of like a Kentucky fan, but that's okay. I love you. You know, I have my preferences. But folks, let us, as children of God, have our preferences, but not let it get to where you turn into hatefulness. I've seen that. I've seen it at work. I've seen it at home. I've seen it at places before. And for us, some people don't know that. But we shouldn't do that, folks. We should be examples of the truth, which is it's only a game. You know?
I've been watching golf this year for some reason. Lucas and I have. Guys, it's amazing. If you have never played golf and you see the shots these guys make, they're unbelievable. Just fabulous at that task or that talent that they have. And I know some people, I hate that guy, and I hate this guy, and I hate this guy because he did this, or he said this, or he struggled with this, or he struggled with that. Not to be so in the kingdom of heaven, folks. Not to be so with those of us that are in the kingdom of heaven. Let us show fruits of the Spirit that they may know the truth. Our last passage this morning and the lesson is yours. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has his world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. Nope, not going to preach on money and giving, but preach on love and doing it in deed and in truth. By this we know that we are of the truth. I asked at the beginning of the lesson this morning, are you in the truth? Do you feel like you're free in Jesus and free in Christ? Is your heart assured before him? To know the truth, our points this morning of our lesson. You shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Jesus taught the way of God in truth. God desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Know what God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth, so that they may know the truth and escape the snare of the devil. In our closing passage, if we love indeed and in truth, we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. We plead with you this morning to assure your heart before him. If you haven't become a child of God, we invite you to do so this morning. If there's something on your heart you need prayers of congregation, we pray that you do that. If there's something you need to make right with God personally, we plead you do that as we stand and sing the selected hymn this morning.